There is a reality, Lord, to Psalm 12 that reminds us that the wicked prowl on every side. But you've warned us. And what you've told us is that greater is the Spirit who dwells in us than anyone in the world. And so, Lord, we ask once again that your truth would triumph, that your gospel would be proclaimed with grace throughout our communities, throughout our world. Lord, that even tonight we would hear the word and be moved closer to our Savior, Jesus Christ, who we love. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. We're in Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16, but there's an Old Testament parallel to that. So we're going to start with a Psalter reading, an Old Testament reading, and it's in Psalm 50. So if you have your Bible, you can open there. And what we're going to see is that Old Testament, New Testament, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? That's Hebrews 13. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when we see the Old and New Testament lined up so clearly, we understand that this is God's plan from the beginning of time. God's plan from the beginning of time, specifically in these verses, are going to show us that worship was never meant to be an outward show. It's not just that in the Old Testament you offer sacrifices. It's not just in the New Testament that you go to church and you're a good person. We mention these things again because we get caught up in externals, things that are our goals that are easily measured, things that we can check off of a list, things that we can see, things that we can touch, things that we can hear, things that we can make assessments of. When the writer of Hebrews says, "Let your hearts be established by grace," he is talking about the internal attitude of worship, the affections of the heart. So not the organ itself, but the genuineness of our being. We're never established by works, but our hearts are established by grace. That's kind of the theme verse we've been pulling out from Hebrews 13. The outflowing of the heart is established by grace, and it's love for Christ, love for others, it's contentment in what Christ has given to us. And now we're looking at this gratitude towards God and how we interact with others. So externals have just been mentioned as part of the overflow of our hearts. So we're not excluding those things that we do or things that we say. But it has to be externals that come from a heart that has been changed, a heart that is overflowing with the grace of God. So with that, let's look at Psalm 50. And you can follow along. I think I'm going to end up reading the whole chapter, Psalm 50. The Mighty One, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. So here's the beginning of the psalm with adoration towards God, praise of Almighty God for His beauty. We looked at that in Sunday school this morning in Revelation 21. The beauty of our Lord, the no need in the new heavens and the new earth for a sun, because God is its light, and so on. Verse 3, our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before Him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around Him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that He may judge His people. Gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Let the heavens declare His righteousness, for God Himself is judge. Verse 7, hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Sound like Hebrews a little bit? Hebrews 12, our God is a consuming fire. He's going to shake the heavens and the earth. Verse 8, the reason for judgment, I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. Again, it's not the externals those things that they're doing. I'm not rebuking you for doing those things, but understand, and this is what God has been saying from the beginning till now, these externals are not primary. God doesn't need to be fed, right? The idols of the Old Testament that you need to feed them. And that lasts today. People bring food to graves and so on. But let's continue verse 9, Psalm 50, verse 9. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? You know, if God needed any of these things, if he were reliant upon us to bring these things to him, he wouldn't be God. But he is God. He doesn't need anything from us. He can take whatever he wants. He's created it all. It all belongs to him. What he desires is obedience and gratitude. That's what the demonstration of bringing these sacrifices was about. Not needed by God, but they're meaningful. If you've been here for our study through Hebrews, we've seen them as pictures of redemption. Again, that was mentioned in Sunday school this morning. From the very first inadequacy of man, when he sins, he's naked and he realizes it. He makes an inadequate clothing for himself out of leaves. But God comes along and sacrifices an animal. So all of these pictures of atonement from the beginning. Now see what God desires, verse 14, Psalm 50, verse 14. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. So here is the sacrifice of praise that's going to be the main point in Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16, which we're looking at tonight. The sacrifice of praise originates from an overflow of grace in the hearts. So a heart that is established by grace will naturally, or I should say supernaturally, overflows with grace or gratitude. The root word is there, from our hearts. So now in Psalm 50, he's going to turn and he's going to address those without grace. If all God wanted was the meat of an animal, it doesn't matter who brought it, I'm going to eat it. If all God wanted was us to fall into line with rituals and external things, it wouldn't matter what the condition of our heart was. To those without grace, their lives overflow with evil, even when they're fulfilling some kind of duty or ritual. And as correct as those rituals might be, down to the least bit of tithing of mint and spices, right? That's an Old Testament allusion where Jesus says, look, you're so careful about these things, but you're ignoring the bigger picture. As correct as the externals might be, we know this. God is not pleased. So here, listen to the Psalm, verse 16, Psalm 50, verse 16. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you? When you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done and I kept silent. You thought I was altogether like you. But I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Proverbs says the heart of a fool overflows with foolishness. They can't hide it. It's going to come out. The heart of the wicked overflows with wickedness. They can't help it. It's going to come out. And it's not pleasing to God. But the heart that is established by grace overflows with grace, with gratitude, with praise. And it's shown in love for God and love for others. That's what is pleasing to the Lord. So this is Psalm 50 now, verse 23. And it's going to take us to Hebrews 13. It says, verse 23, whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Praise and conduct. Praise and conduct. Psalm 50, verse 23. Now, Hebrews 13, 15, and 16. They're the same verse in a sense. Whoever offers praise glorifies me. That's Psalm 50. Hebrews 13 says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise, an offering of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And then the second part of Psalm 50, verse 23 says, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Hebrews 13, 16 says, but do not forget to do, this is conduct, right? Do good and to share. Sounds like a preschool lesson. Do good and share. But it's for all of us. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Sacrifices. Sacrifices of praise to our God. So now let's leave Psalm 50, keeping it in our minds because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? This is the same Word of God in the Old and New Testament. You don't understand the new without the old. You don't finish or conclude the old without the new. We need both. So let's go to Hebrews 13 and two verses for our text this evening, verses 15 and 16. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Praise and conduct. Point number one, praise. It starts with the word therefore, so it tells us why. Be filled with praise. And because, you know, it's not Thanksgiving, but usually when Thanksgiving rolls around, we think about all the things we're thankful for, and it can be a vast list. It could be, in a sense, immeasurable. There are so many things. So to narrow it down just for this sermon tonight, just think about what has been mentioned in Hebrews 13, in this chapter. Verse 5, he himself has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. There's gratitude in our hearts for that. He is not the one who just goes off and leaves us. Psalm 23 talks about walking with us through the valley of the shadow of death. Verse 10, we have an altar. Oh, you Christians, you don't have an altar, right? That was the first century issue. You don't have an altar. Oh, yes, we do. Who is that altar? We have an altar. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus and his sacrifice. The Lamb of God, right? The Lamb's Book of Life. Again, an allusion to Sunday school. The Lamb's Book of Life tells us that a lamb, there was a sacrifice. There's something about sacrifice in there, made it possible for us to be redeemed, to be part of the family of God. And it's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We have an altar by which we are cleansed. So that's verse 10. Because we're limiting our praise just for tonight to Hebrews 13. So verse 5, I will never leave you. Verse 10, we have an altar, Jesus Christ. Verse 12, Jesus suffered for us. And he did that in order to sanctify us. So just from this chapter, there are three parts of praise, which we could take even further and explore even more. How did the Word of God come to me? How did I hear about this atonement? How did I hear about the sacrifice? Why has he chosen me? And so on. So the question is, why be filled with praise? And it's because Christ has established our hearts by grace. The next phrase in that verse, therefore, starts with therefore, the why, because our hearts have been established by grace, by him, so we have the how. This is by him, capital H, him, so it's Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way. No man comes to the Father except through me. There is salvation in no one else, no other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. There is no way except through Christ. We've spoken about Christ as mediator. And you remember when Moses went up on the mountain, the people were saying, please don't ever let God speak to us. You go and talk to him and then you tell us. The unmediated word of Almighty God is too much. That's the smoking and shaking Mount Sinai. Right? It was just too much. The people had no heart for it. They couldn't bear it. But having Christ as our mediator, we have access to the Father through him. We come to Mount Zion, not Mount Sinai with its gloominess and darkness and thundering and lightning. No, we come to Mount Zion. And there is a door, the gates that are never shut, right? Jesus Christ says, I am the door. And it's open. Hebrews 4 has those gracious, very gracious words, overwhelmingly gracious words. We have a high priest. And it's not a guy wearing a collar. It's Jesus Christ. He is our mediator, our high priest. And he says, come boldly to the throne of grace and cry out, Abba, Father. Through Jesus, we can bring our sacrifice of praise to the throne room of God. Therefore, why? By him, how? Let us, so this is the who, and this is for us as believers. There are lots of let us commands in Hebrews. We've looked at that, but just a reminder of some of those. The Christian life is not a solo mission. It's not an independent activity. That's why we meet together. Verse 6, we may boldly say. Verse 10, we have an altar. Verse 13, let us go forth. Verse 14, we seek the city to come. Verse 18, pray for us. These are all us together, a congregation, the bride of Christ, the building, the body. Christian life is not to be done alone. Together we press on. Our lives touch others' lives. And here is corporate praise. The ordinance of song and the Puritan prayer this morning. Here is corporate praise. Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. How about when? Therefore, by him, let us continually. So we're not just weekend warriors, weekend worshipers. We're to worship continually. The lesson on prayer on Wednesday night was about praying at all times. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So far, under the heading, right, first point is praise. Why? Therefore, because Christ has done all of this. How? Through Jesus Christ, who is the way, the door. Who? Let us, believers. And when? Continually. Now the substance, the what? The what? Offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So it's praise. That's the substance, the sacrifice of praise. It comes from our lips, and it is giving of thanks to his name, the fruit of our lips. That comes from an obscure passage in Hosea. We might know a little bit about Hosea, but let me read this passage in Hosea 14, verses 1 through 3. It says, O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Remember, the prophets are before captivity, pre-captive, right? Or post-captivity. There are a few that are during the captivity, like Daniel was writing during captivity. Jeremiah was writing during captivity. But Hosea is pre-captivity, when the people are just making a mess of their lives. And he's calling them back to Christ. Oh, Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. So is it saying, write this down on a paper and repeat it, repeat it, repeat it? No, let this be the cry of your heart. A heart that desires to be free from sin and to be free from the bondage of Egypt. Slavery to sin. And the Old Testament language of sacrifice is used to show the genuine repentance that the one who is offering the sacrifice of praise, is the fruit of his lips, is to have. So it's not just an outward activity. No, this is a sacrifice of the lips. Again, Psalm 50. Does the Lord need a bull's flesh? Is God hungry and we need to feed him? No, our God doesn't hunger. He is spirit. He doesn't eat. But what he desires, Psalm 51, right? What he desires is a broken and a contrite heart. One that overflows to the movement of the lips and the voice. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. That's the fruit of David's lips in the next Psalm, Psalm 51. Fruit of the lips is mentioned not only in the Old Testament, but here it is again in the New Testament, in Hebrews. Why? Because the Old Testament and the New Testament are one book. Romans 12:1, another New Testament passage. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as sacrifices. What kind? Living sacrifices. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. When we read that verse, we find that the sacrifice is living. It's living, and it's essentially inward, holy, acceptable to God. That's the living sacrifice. This is not an external bull or goat, a living sacrifice, giving our lives to the Lord. The external is there, and we're going to get to that in the second point. The conduct is there, but first, we're looking at this inward reality, because if all you have is externals and nothing inside, there's a problem. If you just say, well, it's all inside and there's nothing external, there's a problem there as well. Back in Hebrews 10, we read, sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and offerings for sins you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them. That's Hebrews 10. The psalmist says it in Psalm 51. You didn't desire all of this. What you want is a broken and a contrite heart. David knew that it was that the internal is really what God was after. So it's not burnt offerings. His desire is a heart that's overflowing with gratitude. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Sometimes we just wish it was as easy as, I can just donate money. I can offset my sins. You know, like when you fly in a plane, they ask you, you're buying your tickets, they say, do you want to offset your carbon footprint? Oh, that's easy, yeah. Here, I'll use up all of these greenhouse gases and I'll just give a few bucks. And you feel better about it. Well, is it that way with God? Hey, sin all you want, just give more money to the church. Wouldn't that be easy? But that's not it. It's much harder than that. Selfish hearts turning towards the will of God. It's self-reliant people becoming reliant upon God. Self-sufficient people looking for help from somebody outside of them. To say I am helpless in a culture that esteems independence. To be humble in a culture that esteems pride. That's more than difficult. It's impossible. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's impossible. So who then can enter into heaven? It's impossible. What is impossible with man is possible with God. We need Christ. External ritual, even in the Old Testament, sometimes we mistakenly think that that was good enough in the Old. No, it's not. It was never enough, and it will never be enough. No matter how good we are, no matter what we do, we can never justify ourselves and justify in the sense of forever justification, to be declared righteous before the just judge of all the earth. Because our desires are wicked. Our actions are wicked. Our thoughts are wicked. The intents of our heart are wicked. We're too wicked. But we have an altar. Jesus Christ. This is great news, isn't it? We have a Savior, which means that He is one who saves. He is our rescuer. We have His shed blood. We have His provision. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. There's a wonderful verse tucked away in Isaiah 57:19. God says, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace. Peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says the Lord. And I will heal him. It's God's promise. He is a healer. Jehovah Rapha. Psalm 50, the wicked man's words are evil and deceitful. But God, who is rich in mercy, comes and changes us from the inside out, and the fruit of our lips becomes a sacrifice of praise to God. It's an amazing thing. So that's the praise part of Hebrews 13:15. Why? Because Christ has done it. How? Through Him, our mediator, the door, the way, who, us, this is for us, the people of God, when, continually, and what, we offer the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, flowing out of transformed hearts. That's point one. Point two, from Hebrews 13:16, this is conduct. So we're looking at praise and we're looking at conduct. Verse 16 says, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. It's very often that the Bible says, do not forget. And it's because we forget. We forget all kinds of things all the time. I'm constantly telling my phone to remember something for me because we forget. But when it's bigger things, you know, it's not something that you can just be reminded of when you reach a certain destination. No, we have to be reminded constantly. Do not forget to do good and to share. Good conduct is what we're to remember. But good conduct without Christ is not pleasing to God. So don't forget that. We're not just having the be a good person, share with others. Without God, out of context. No, we're looking at the context. If we don't have inward grace, and we're just trying to be good, it's chasing after the wind. It's vanity of vanities. It gets us nowhere. But to do good and share as an overflow of inward grace, when our hearts are established by grace, this is pleasing to God. So as we talk about conduct, it is in terms of a life that has been freely transformed by the gospel of grace. We're not promoting work salvation. So we start with another question to explore this, and it's who. And since this is a continuation of the previous verse, it's going to be for us. This is for us as believers, those who are sanctified by the blood of Christ. Next question is how? Again, because this is a continuation of thought, this is by Him, right? By Jesus Christ. It is by Him that we are offering these sacrifices, plural. The sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of doing good, the sacrifice of sharing. These are the sacrifices of praise. For with these sacrifices, it says in verse 16, God is well pleased. So we don't just stop with the fruit of our lips. The writer says, don't forget. There's more. Don't forget we are prone to compartmentalize our Christianity or our worship. You have the sports section, you have the headlines, and then you have a little section of religion. We do that in our lives, and we're not to do that. We're not to reduce our worship to an hour on Sunday. But worship is to be continually on our lips and continually on our hands. Head, heart, hands, right? Head, heart, hands. Sunday worship is the pinnacle of the worship that's been going on in our lives throughout the week. If Sunday worship is boring, maybe it's because we're not engaging ourselves throughout the week. It seems that those who are eager to attend are those who have been participating all along. They're reading the Word. They're excited about the Word. They're singing praises to the Lord. They're worshiping all week. And then they come together and here's this overflow. And so our praise and worship isn't just the singing. Our praise and worship is enjoying the company of the saints. Our praise and worship is reading the Word of God together. There is just something about reading the Psalms out loud together. It's not the same as just sitting there and reading it. There is a blessing to that. But when we're reading these things together out loud or hearing them read out loud, the Spirit uses these things in our lives. So if we're bored with worship, maybe it's because we're not engaging throughout the week. Weekend worship should be just the highlight as we come together to feast on our Lord together. So the who is us, the how is by Jesus, and the next is the essence or the what, and it's to do good and to share. So do good. Works, praise, don't stand alone. They necessarily go together. One writer looks at the Old Testament sacrificial system and he says, together, praise and works are the sacrificial body and the sweet-smelling aroma proceeding from it. Together, praise and works are the sacrificial body and the sweet-smelling aroma proceeding from it. Faith and practice go hand in hand. The writer says here, do good. But he's already said, let brotherly love continue, right? That was the beginning of the chapter. Be hospitable to strangers, again, the beginning of the chapter. Visit those in prison, again, in the opening verses of the chapter. So this is not a standalone thing. James 1:27 says, pure and undefiled religion before God is to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Do good. Minister to one another. Genuine love for God and in holiness. A living sacrifice. Not growing weary in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we faint not. So that's the doing good part. What about the sharing? The word for sharing here is koinonia. You've probably heard that before. It's that idea of fellowship, communion, partnership, sharing. So here in Hebrews 13, here is a repeat of don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as so many do. Fellowship together. Share with one another. Let life touch life. Minister to each other. It's an act of worship that is pleasing to God. It's a practical effect of having fellowship with God. So this is the second heading. It's conduct. Who? Us, believers. How? Through Christ. What? Do good and share. And then the last thing we'll look at this evening is the why. And if you look at the last phrase of verse 16, it says, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You want to know what pleases God? It's not a hit and miss. It's not a trial and error. It's not, oh, I didn't do enough. No, it says that with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Praise and conduct. With such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Here it is laid out. Hebrews 13, gratitude, fruit of the lips. Sacrifice of praise that flows from a heart that is established by grace. And good deeds and sharing. Again, an overflow of a heart established by grace. And it's demonstrated in the fruit of our lips, and it's demonstrated in practical help to others. So remember where we started this evening in Psalm 50, verse 23. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Praise and conduct. So let us have this grace, people of God. Let us have this grace by which we may serve him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time of worship together where you have brought us together in fellowship one with another. We thank you, O God, that throughout the week we can continue in our worship of you. And we do that by the fruit of our lips. And we do that by our conduct towards others, doing good and sharing. So, Heavenly Father, help us to sin less. Help us to walk in holiness. Help us to fight those things that so easily distract us or carry us away. Help us not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we might present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto you. Lord, we pray these things because we need your help. In Jesus' name, amen.